We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Blue Wire.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Ooh. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds. Middleton. Yes! Chris Middleton.
Back jumper. Got it!
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Hey there. Welcome to Binge the Bucks, a special narrative podcast series focusing on the Milwaukee Bucks 2019 playoff run and part of the Eurostep podcast. I'm Ty Windisch, and I'm here with Rohan Kadi to break down the second game in the first series in the Bucks' 2019 playoff run, a 120-99 stomping of the Detroit Pistons. This podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag, and the Eurostep is proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Rohan, we're through two games now in this series after this podcast. I guess this podcast covers the second game. So the Bucks have won two games. They've won them both by 20-plus. But before we get there, going into game two, you want to set the stage for us a little bit?
Yeah. So the Pistons, as we covered on the last podcast, got absolutely destroyed. They lost by 35 points. And it was not good. So Dwayne Casey decided to go with a little bit of a change. He took Luke Kennard, who had scored 21 points, was leading the team in scoring, and decided to put him in the starting lineup so the Pistons could actually, you know, float for a little bit. So he was replacing Bruce Brown in the starting lineup. Otherwise, everything was the same. Everything was the same from the Bucks end. And it was expected that the Bucks would sort of win big after after game one. Everyone just sort of realized that the series was over. As we'll get into later, it's sort of like Paul Pierce, but he was right, sort of thing, because it was over after game one. And this game, it sort of felt like that too. Again,
yeah, it did. With a little bit of a wrinkle, we'll get there. But it certainly, at the end of game two, I think nobody was really surprised with how anything had gone. But first, to start the first quarter, the Bucks post 38 points for the second consecutive first quarter of this series, jump out to a 38-27 lead. Early inside-out work was good for the Bucks. Milwaukee was creating off of dribble penetration, either scoring or dishing to shooters. But Detroit was able to make some shots. I mean, obviously, they're not down as much as they were last time. Andre Drummond did some cleanup work. Reggie Jackson opened up some space, and I think probably my biggest takeaway from this first quarter of this game, I miss Brook Lopez just pulling and making threes a lot, because that certainly happened more last year. And he only had one made three in this game. It did come in that first quarter. It wasn't a huge Brook Lopez game, but the Bucks did destroy in his minutes. He had a plus 27 in this one.
Yeah, it was so nice to see Brook making threes. Like, I don't want to admit how many times I've watched last year's highlights against the Nuggets where he hit like 9 threes.
Oh god, Brook Lopez games are fun. Brook Lopez, like, so if you don't enjoy a Brook Lopez eruption, a Splash Mountain eruption, I just don't know what to tell you. I don't. We vibe differently.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. Like, it's different this season, but he was just making so many threes. It was beautiful. But yeah, that one made three he had was great. He actually plays like the most minutes in the first quarter. He plays a solid 10 minutes, 11 seconds out of 12 possible. But the Pistons actually got out to a decent start. I think at one point they had like a 13-12 lead in this first quarter, which sort of, it was way better of a start than last game, but I don't think they could possibly have gotten worse. But, you know, it was good to see them actually, you know, doing the thing. Scoring the basketball, you know, like, go them. And they were playing decent defense. Giannis only had 7 points in the first period compared to his 11 in game one, which I guess, you know, is a little bit of a win.
Yeah.
But for the Bucks, Eric Bledsoe absolutely got going. He did not miss a shot in the first quarter. He went 4 for 4, including 2 of 2 from three. He had 12 points, and that almost matched his total from game one just in the first quarter alone. And he was really the difference that let the Bucks get an 11-point lead after the first quarter. It was just, it was very nice to see him get going after like, at this point, it was him trying to exercise his demons from the Boston series in the year before. And so it was nice to see a good Eric Bledsoe playoff performance.
Yeah, it was. I mean, this game ends up being pretty tantalizing. The Bucks, all three of the Bucks' big three end up going off eventually. And they, like you said, they kind of staggered it. It certainly bled early. It was great, although he was good throughout this game. Did you have any other first quarter stuff?
Not really.
The second quarter, dramatic. The one quarter of this game, the Pistons win, and they win it big. Detroit wins the second quarter 32-20. I have Pistons take a lead at halftime with two exclamation points in my notes. Barely a lead, but still a lead, although I think... We talked last pod about Nikola Mirotic being awfully disappointing. A lot of that second quarter run was when Nikola Mirotic was basically the Bucks center and Brook Lopez was off the floor. As I said, Brook Lopez ends up at the end of the day with the best plus minus in the game, plus 27. Meanwhile, Mirotic is a minus 3 in Milwaukee's eventual huge win. In this game, wait for this stat line, 2 points, 1 for 5 from deep, 0 made threes. 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 fouls. So as many fouls as points, just not able to do a whole lot. And then Detroit's shot making continued happening. Luke Kennard still hitting jumpers. He led this team in scoring again. So kind of a good play by Dwayne Casey to start him, although of course it doesn't end up completely swinging. But luckily we had some Chris Middleton cooking in this quarter to not completely let this thing get away from the Bucks.
Yeah, Luke Kennard actually played the entire second quarter, all 12 nice. Minutes of it. But one thing that really stood out to me was the Bucks had 7 turnovers in the second quarter.
Sloppy.
Yeah, exactly. They just got sloppy with it. They got a little too careless. Like, they got in their own heads, like they already won the series. And it was, if I'm correct me if I'm wrong, but second quarter seemed to be just not great for the Bucks last season.
But, like, just generally?
Yeah, just generally.
Yeah, I think that's right. And it kind of makes sense, right? Because they only had the one center.
Yeah,
so I feel like that
true.
Was, like, it was a lot of Brook Lopez sitting in that quarter.
Mm. I forgot that, like, they didn't have a second center because they traded John Henson.
Yeah.
John Henson was on this team at one point last year.
It's still hard for me to believe some of those trades and when that happened. Like, I always think that they acquired Bledsoe for this year.
No, they had Dellavedova at the start of the season.
That is so crazy.
Mm-hmm. And then Horst God, you know, turned them both into George Hill.
What a guy.
Mm. But yeah, like in the second quarter, it was just the Bucks sort of being careless and the Pistons sort of like locking in for probably their best quarter of the series. No, definitely their best quarter in the entire series.
Yeah, no, by far it was. Yeah, it was the one, their biggest win of a quarter all series. Although, one of my favorite things, Thon did some okay stuff this quarter. Thon ended up, I mean, he didn't have any great stat lines. He puts up 6 points and three rebounds, which is, two rebounds, three assists. A very Thon stat line, two blocks. Like some flashy stuff, but not a lot of the stuff you really need your center or your big guy to do. Mm-hmm. Giannis absolutely smokes one of his attempted dunks or layups after Thon had gotten a pretty nice dunk to fall earlier. And that was fun to watch. Like I talked about last time, Giannis usually has some desire, it feels like, to play really well against guys who used to be on his team, especially bigger guys who are going to kind of match up with him. And he sent that Thon shot to about the fifth row, it felt like.
Yeah, no, I think one of his blocks came in the second quarter where he got it on Giannis. And then,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then Giannis immediately after, because, you know, it had gone out of bounds, so it was the Bucks' possession. For his only field goal made in the entire quarter, it was Giannis just bullying Thon down to the basket and just rising up and dunking it over his head.
Yeah, just I misspoke earlier. He uncorks a dunk on him, not a block on him. But yeah, it was a fun time.
But it was so mean, Ty.
I love Giannis mean dunks, honestly.
He was just like, okay, I'm so much stronger than you. You are going into the basket if I want you to. Like, okay, this is a hypothetical question. Do you think last year's Giannis could lift last year's Thon with one hand and put him into the basket?
I don't know about one hand. If only because, like...
Well, he's like 50 pounds.
No, he is, but logistically, like, he's so tall and lanky, it would be hard to lift him with just one hand.
I mean, Thon is... I guess he's 221. But, okay, fine, two hands. Do you think Giannis could pick up Thon yes. Maker and put him in the basket?
Absolutely yes, with two hands.
Yeah.
I think Giannis could throw me, and I'm not small, but I think Giannis could, like, pick me up and, like, hurl me.
No, he's so strong. Like, Thonmaker is seven, he's over 7 foot, right? Or he's,
I think he's 7'1", seven but he one, might let's not say. Be.
Oh, wait, he's listed at 7 feet, but he's 7'1", I think. And, like, 7 foot, 200 plus. And he's just, like, walking backwards, and just Thon's just flying all over the place for that dunk. It was just beautiful. That was one of two great highlights in the game. You hinted at the other one that happened in the third quarter. But yeah. It was just that I didn't realize that was Giannis's only made field goal in the quarter, because Giannis actually had a rough second quarter.
Go ahead.
He went 1 for 5 from the field, and just he had 3 turnovers. He wasn't getting a good whistle, if I remember correctly.
Mm-mm. No, he wasn't.
Yeah, it was just like, we need to make this game somewhat competitive, maybe. I remember getting frustrated about it.
Yeah.
But
which is funny, considering how well the first 5 quarters of the series had went. But right away, like, oh, come on.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Pistons go into the half with a 1-point lead. And, you know, credit to them. They actually got a lead on the Bucks at halftime.
Yeah, they did. But I would not bet on them holding that lead very long. And speaking of betting... With currently no NBA, NHL, or college basketball, you might think there's nothing to bet on right now, but you would be wrong in thinking that. BetOnline.ag/hundreds of places to wager. They have an online casino with poker and blackjack, and they're all open 24 hours a day, and they're all completely online. And sports aren't totally done either. There's still mixed martial arts, and esports is on the rise. Plus, there's entertainment to wager on. You can bet on American Idol, the elections, the spelling bee, and even the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. All you gotta do to get a little extra money to bet is use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your new ticket to online action. So let's get to this third quarter. Like this season's third quarters, this is a fun one for the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks win 35-17, take the lead back and hold it really in big fashion. Something I forgot to note last pod that happened again this one, a timely Giannis three-pointer, what kind of helped the Bucks take the lead back in this run. He made one each in each of these first two games, but him making threes is not completely new development, but certainly he's come a long way from his old three-point shooting stroke.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It almost... His three-point shot reminded me of Ertan's in this game. Mm. And that's not really a compliment.
This is why the Bucks needed Kyle Korver.
Yep. So it's just, it's like we mentioned on the last pod, this Bucks team got so much better than they did, like, compared to last season. And, you know, part of that's personnel. And that's, we're seeing that with Giannis's three-point shots so far this season. But yeah, it was just, I just remember getting so excited every time Giannis made a three. It was just, and now it's just normal, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I still get a little bit excited, you know? But it's not like, it's not like a earth-shaking moment, you know?
No.
It's not like Ben Simmons taking a jumper or anything.
Yeah, it isn't a national headline.
It's not getting the fun Bleacher Report edits or anything.
No.
But yeah, one thing I didn't forget and I didn't really remember until watching the third quarter of this game was how annoying Andre Drummond was. Like, he was just whining all the time and acting like he was the best player on the court when he was probably, at this point in the game, at best, the seventh best player on the court.
Oh, Rohan.
Like, Luke Kennard was obviously better than him. Thon Maker was doing better than him. Like, he was at least showing some effort. Wayne Ellington was doing things. Reggie Jackson was doing things. Andre Drummond might have been the worst starter on the Pistons in this game. But he was just acting so whiny. There was he tried to flop on Giannis.
Yep.
Bad. He should have gotten a fine for that.
He should have at least gotten warned. Yeah, Giannis. So Drummond flops, very obviously. Giannis hammers one home. He dunks hard with no resistance, of course. And he kind of shrugs on his way back up the court. It's just another one of those great, like, Giannis somewhat heel turn moments of, like, you know, Giannis is really just does not care what anybody is feeling, what everybody is thinking. Like, Giannis is playing his game, and he's going to react accordingly based on how he feels about what's going on. And I think this part of the story of this third quarter is Giannis does just completely take over. I mean, you talked about not the greatest first quarter, pretty bad second quarter. Giannis still ends up with 26 points, 12 boards, 4 assists, 2 blocks, 5 turnovers, and 4 fouls isn't the greatest. But still, that's all in just 29 minutes. He shoots 61% from the field. So he had himself a game. And then Eric Bledsoe, who had a good third quarter as well, really used the space around Giannis well. Bled actually leads the team in scoring with 27 points, 4 rebounds, 3 offensive, 6 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, just 1 turnover, and 3 made threes. No Buck made more three-pointers than Eric Bledsoe, and he had 3 of the total 11 made threes from Milwaukee. These are just wild numbers to consider. We're talking about Eric Bledsoe in the playoffs, but he was phenomenal in this game.
Yeah. Getting back to the third quarter, like, Giannis had 13 points, and next highest for the Bucks was 5 between Pat Connaughton, Bledsoe, and Sterling Brown. It was just, what I wrote down was that Giannis was just like, yeah, this isn't happening. Cute story, taking a lead at the half, but I'm the MVP and this is my house.
Yeah.
There was a funny moment in this quarter when I was rewatching it. So it was I can't remember the exact time, but Sterling Brown scored off an inbounds because the Pistons ran an elevator door set for Sterling Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so normally, if you're not familiar with the terms, sort of the offense runs the sets for their offensive players, not the defense. On this play, I think it was George Hill inbounding the ball as a side out, and Sterling Brown cuts through two Pistons to the basket. But after he cuts, the Pistons close and don't let the defender get through. So just Sterling Brown is open at the basket. He's sort of like, when he catches the ball, because he's wide open, he sort of like double clutches it because he's like, I'm not sure that I'm supposed to be this open on an inbound.
Yeah, he did. He was unexpected. He clearly was not expecting the play to work that well.
No, because, hey, you know, credit to the Pistons. You know, they're trying to run sets. They're trying to get Sterling Brown developed because, you know what? Sterling Brown's probably going to be on the Pistons soon. So it's you know, credit to them. They're getting an early jump on their player development.
That's hilarious.
But yeah,
shout out to Sterling, though. Another good Sterling game.
But that play was just a perfect encapsulation of the series.
Yeah, exactly. 3/4 of the series, except for the one quarter per game the Pistons won. And this was, like we said, their most decisive win. But yeah, I think again, like one of my notes from this quarter is like Detroit still just could not get good shots reliably. At the comfort level after that rocky second quarter, it was all back to the Bucks when they were playing a lot more Brook Lopez and going through Giannis more, and they obviously are comfortable doing that. Detroit just was unable to get consistent good looks, and they had to rely so much on like Reggie Jackson and Luke Kennard just creating something out of really not much, really nothing. And then Andre Drummond would like finish lobs or like clean up an offensive rebound or whatever, but really it just did not seem like they were able to get consistent clean looks. And again, like I said last pod, really, really hard to beat the Bucks that way.
Exactly. It was just, yeah, this third quarter was just, it was a normal bloodbath for the series. They win the quarter by 18 points, and that's just, you know, that's normal.
Yeah. And then in the fourth quarter, the Bucks a little bit slimmer margin, but again, there was some garbage time at play. The Bucks win the fourth quarter 27-23 to finish off holding home court, winning the first two games of the series. This was the Giannis block I was talking about.
Yes, we both misspoke. You said it was in the second quarter. I said it was in the third quarter, but it was in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, gets a nice dunk.
Yeah.
In fairness to him, in traffic, but he gets a nice flush, and he comes back soon after for a second one, and that is when Giannis absolutely destroys an attempt up by Thon, and that's the third row block I was referring to earlier. I got my notes mixed up a little bit, but that play was a lot of fun.
Yeah, poor Thon. He thought he had shaken himself free, and then he used his noodle arms to try and extend to the basket, but Giannis was just like, nah.
No, I don't think so.
Like, you thought you beat me. Actually, credit to the Pistons again. They actually made the Bucks starters play in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You know, like, they didn't play a lot, but, you know, they played.
One of my notes was garbage time, not until the last few minutes. Progress for Detroit.
Are we being too mean?
No, I think if you look at the final scores of these games, and again, the Bucks win this one, 120-99, I think we're being accurate. And again, we need to have our fun while we can, but regardless, this quarter, Reggie Jackson made a real difference in this game. Reggie Jackson put up 18 points, 8 assists, 3 rebounds, shoots 7 for 16 from the field. It's a good game. Good Reggie Jackson game. Only one turnover, so 8-1 assist to turnover ratio, but he did not make enough of a difference, and he did not make as much of a difference as Eric Bledsoe. And I think, you know, if Eric Bledsoe is going to outplay your best or second best guy for the Bucks, usually that's not a great sign for your team.
No, it's not. But I'm struggling to think of good things. So, like, I mean, at least compared to the first game where Luke Kennard was clearly, like, you know, the best player on the team, like, at least Reggie Jackson, like you said, was scoring. Andre Drummond was scoring a little bit. Hey, credit to Andre. He was only a minus 32 in this game instead of a minus 45. You know, improvement.
Oh, man.
And, you know, he was the second leading scorer on the team, you know, 18 points, you know, credit to Andre Drummond.
Yeah.
It took him 37 minutes to get there, but
I think you could visibly see in this game, and especially the Reggie Jackson heating up was really good for Andre Drummond. I mean, they'd played together for a few years now, and you can kind of see, like, a lot of what made, like, a lot of Andre Drummond scoring is kind of contingent on, like, Reggie Jackson opening up space and getting to the mid-range and drawing defenders, help defenders away from Andre. So Andre could either, you know, clean up a Reggie miss or just get a lob or whatever. So I think that made a big difference. That was kind of the reason Andre, I think, looked better in this game was Reggie also looked better. They kind of go together, it felt like. But, yeah, one of the things I noted was watching Langston Galloway and Ish Smith sometimes try to defend Chris Middleton was hilarious. We all know how Chris Middleton loves to post up smaller players and go to work. And in this game, Chris bounces back in a pretty strong way. I mean, he ends up with 24 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal, shoots 7 for 15 from the field, 2 for 6 from deep. So in this game, he makes 5 shots within the arc instead of just 2. And also draws 8 free throw attempts and sinks all 8 of them, which not a lot of Bucks are making 8 free throws in any given game. So that was certainly helpful as well. But yeah, I mean, there's not a ton here. We should shout out Pat Connaughton. Probably his best playoff game ever.
Yeah.
Planet Pat in 31 minutes puts up 18 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and 4 blocks.
It's just, it was a classic Planet Pat game. Like, Pat Connaughton taking 10 shots in a playoff game, you would think that something went very wrong.
Well, it did for Detroit.
It did. You're right. But like in the context of this 1920 season, if Pat Connaughton's taking 10 shots in the playoffs, like you'd think like, oh, just every so many people are injured. But last season it was like, oh yes, play all the Pat minutes. He shoots 80% from the field.
Yeah.
2 of 3 from three. It was nice to see Pat making some threes, actually. Like him and Brook Lopez, like watching those two make threes was actually refreshing. But it also kind of sad because you know that they're capable of doing it, but then just chose to like forget how to shoot a basketball this season. But yeah, Pat Connaughton plays 31 minutes, you know, 18 points. Like it's wild. He had the third best plus minus on the team.
Yeah, I mean, he was just straight up good in this game.
He had the classic Planet Pat play where he blocks a three and then leaks out for the dunk.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful Planet Pat stuff. Watching this, I was kind of reminded of, hasn't really happened this the most recent season as much, but that year there really was kind of a, like, Bud really going with the hot hand guy between Pat C. and Sterling Brown, obviously, without the injury, and not really Brogdon as much, but like Tony Snell was kind of in that group of like sometimes he plays, sometimes he didn't. And it was funny to remember that like Pat would play a lot this season if he was playing well. It was kind of like, you know, if it's like I said, hot hand, like if your heat checks are falling, you're going to get more minutes. And we see Pat plays the third most minutes on the team because every heat check he took was a make and really just peak Planet Pat in this one. It's one of the interesting and kind of agonizing things about Pat's game is, like, this flashes, and usually it's not, you know, a whole 31 minutes like this, but this was, like, the most extended period where you can see, like, why there have been teams like the Trailblazers when they drafted him and stuff that were really high on Pat Connaughton, because there are moments when he puts it all together, and you can just see, like, he has everything you need to be a good player, but it's just, like, it comes and goes a little bit. Decision-making can be sometimes, et cetera, et cetera. But just right here, an all-time game from Pat C. And really fun to watch him do this. It was just, like, a nice, like, kind of side thing. Like, while everything else is going right for the Bucks, you also get to watch Pat C. just go off.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. Sterling Brown kind of took a little step back from his great game one. But that's because, you know, we had the big three went off and also Pat Connaughton went off. So there's not a lot of shots to go around, really.
And I mean, if Sterling Brown had this game today, we'd probably be pretty excited.
Oh, we'd be very excited about it. That's just, like we mentioned in the last spot, it's weird to see how far he's fallen. He's been the victim of the Bucks just getting so much better.
Yeah. Yeah, he really has. It's kind of just how it goes. But and looking at the series vibe, I think this was an interesting time. We are on the eve of Blake Griffin rejoining the Pistons. It was kind of talked about, like, will he or won't he play this postseason? And I vividly remember thinking and saying, probably on the Eurostep, on Twitter, wherever else, I don't think he should play. Like, I don't think it's going to be good. And this wasn't just, like, you know, Bucks perspective. Like earlier this year, I was posting a lot about how the Lakers need to play Rondo way more and Caruso not at all. Like, I'm just saying that because I think Caruso is better than Rondo, and I want the Bucks to beat the Lakers. But this was, like, seriously, like, the series is over. The Bucks have the 0-2 lead now. I don't think Blake is going to make that much of a difference, but is this worth jeopardizing his health? But credit to Blake. He is a gamer. He would end up coming to make his appearance in Game 3. And just as Blake debuted in the series, we are going to have a special guest debut in the recap, the Binge the Bucks of Game 3. So that'll be something to look out for. But yeah, that was, I remember, the big series vibe on my mind was, is Blake really going to come back for this?
Yeah, it was. The thought process was just, like, one, his health, first and foremost. Because we saw, looking back, how it played out this season where he had season-ending surgery. Was it knee surgery? I can't remember.
I think it always
is always with Blake. It's always knees with Blake Griffin. It was actually kind of a little disheartening because actually earlier today, you know, ESPN on Twitter is just posting a lot of highlights because, you know, what else are they supposed to cover? And it was just like Blake Griffin Lob City highlights.
Ooh.
And it was just, it was very fun to see because Prime Blake was just a monster. There was, I think the first play in that video was Eric Bledsoe throwing a lob to Blake Griffin, which is just like wow. Taking it back.
What the?
I forgot Eric Bledsoe was on the Clippers.
Yeah, that sentence just broke me for a second.
Mm-hmm. Eric Bledsoe throwing a lob to Blake Griffin in LA.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what?
You think that's like two seasons from now, the Lakers trying to use up the last whatever they have of LeBron.
Yuck.
Yeah. I might have just put something in the universe that I'm not happy about.
I'm not ready for that Photoshop. Let's move on.
but yeah, it was... Yeah, first and foremost, Blake Griffin's health. And then second, like, is it really going to make that much of a difference? Because we had seen in the regular season that the Bucks just dominated the Pistons even with Blake Griffin playing really well. And we forget that Blake Griffin had a really, really good season. He made third team All-NBA, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Like, he had a really good season for the Pistons. And it's just like, does it even matter? Spoiler alert, the Bucks win this series. but I guess next time we will talk about, with our special guest, how much Blake Griffin actually made an impact on the series.
Yeah. And honestly, it was probably good for Pistons fans and everyone there to get to see their best player play again. I mean, it doesn't end up swinging the series.
I mean,
I'm sure
Blake really wanted to play.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he clearly did.
He was out there hobbling.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was... He's going to have some annoying moments, but certainly you can't question the gamerism in it all. I mean, he clearly did not have to do that, but he certainly did. And I think it was a very cool thing to do, despite maybe not being the best long-term decision, still, like, in that moment, it was badass.
Yeah. Do you have any other thoughts on this game?
I think I'm through all of them now. I think that's all I've got. Yeah,
but once again, credit to the Pistons. You almost made Giannis play 30 minutes.
Almost.
Yep, almost got there. But if you don't have anything else, Ty, I think that'll wrap us up on this game two of the first round series of the Binge the Bucks edition of the Eurostep. And we'd like to thank you for listening to this episode. If you really did enjoy it, leave a rating on your podcast platform of choice and tell people about it. You know, people have a lot of time on their hands because they should be social distancing. You know what? Maybe they're Bucks fans who just really want to, relive the glory days of last postseason, because who knows about this postseason. Or if they're a Pistons fan who's self-loathing and just hates themselves and wants to relive this series. Actually, but you know what? We covered the bright spots for the Pistons, too. But yeah,
Reggie Jackson had a moment. Come on.
Yeah, Reggie Jackson had a moment. Andre Drummond improved on his plus minus. He was only a minus 32. Classic Andre Drummond game. but yeah, next time we will have a very special Pistons guest. So if you are a Pistons fan, stay tuned for the next episode of Binge the Bucks. But from Ty and I, we'd like to thank you for listening to this episode again. Check out all of the Blue Wire podcasts. We're all pushing out content because we know you guys want it during these trying times. But I guess we'll talk to you next time, and thank you for listening.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.